There's even episodes where I shot the intro with a little sleeping mask above my forehead so you couldn't see that I was paralyzed. I had glasses on so you couldn't see that my eye wasn't shutting. I put a thermometer in my mouth so you couldn't see that I was like really slurring and talking from the side of my mouth. And I was just like, hey guys, can't do the show. Like, I'm really sick. Like, that would be part of the intro of the show.
Welcome to Rock the Boat. We're your hosts, Lucia Liu and Lynn Gui. Together, we have candid conversations with Asian Americans who are challenging the status quo. We uncover stories about their upbringing, their relationship with family, Asian identity, and their work. In the past, we've interviewed Andrew Yang, Michelle Phan, and the Fung Bros. This season, we're featuring Asian Americans who have overcome challenges against all odds. Join us for our boldest season yet. Hey everyone, Lucia here. Welcome to another episode of Rock the Boat. We Americans have a love-hate relationship with work and being busy. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the average productivity per American worker has increased by 400% since 1950. This is especially true for children of immigrants. We feel like we constantly need to keep our schedules filled to the brim so that we can perform our best. We're told to work hard, have discipline, and be persistent. We rush from one meeting to the next, we send emails after work hours, and eat lunch at our desks. I'm definitely guilty of all of those things. We live in a culture where work is an obsession. It is what defines us, gives us meaning and purpose. And this phenomenon is called workism. The effects of workism can sometimes awaken us to some harsh realities, such as depression, burnout, poor health, anxiety, and much more. Arianna Huffington speaks extensively about the dangers of workism, even going to extreme lengths by creating a company dedicated to promoting health and wellness. That company is called Thrive. But she didn't open her eyes to the dangers of overexhaustion until she collapsed. Our guest today had a similar experience. Her name is Erin Lim. You might know her as the host of The Rundown on E! News. Her show is quick and fun. It usually lasts about 3 to 5 minutes and runs 3 times a week on Snapchat. Through the show, Erin has high-fived Brad Pitt on the red carpet, interviewed the cast of Avengers Endgame, and performed ASMR with Noah Centineo. Her shows boast over 13 million viewers. In this episode, Lynn and Kessel sit down with Erin to talk to her about her battle with Bell's palsy and how it affected her career as a journalist and entertainer. But first, a quick note from our sponsor. This episode of Rock the Boat is brought to you by our seasonal sponsor, Numa Foods. Numa Foods makes good-for-you, chewy, milk-based candies. The recipe is inspired by Asian nougat candies, and it boasts 40% less sugar, 4 grams of protein, and a whole host of vitamins. The milk chews come in 3 different flavors, original, chocolate, and strawberry. My personal favorite is the original. It resembles white rabbit candy with peanuts and fruit. I recently spoke with Joyce over the phone. Joyce is the founder of the company. And she told me that the idea for Numa Foods came about when she was craving something sweet, but healthier. Because she was sensitive to sugary snacks, her mother started hand-making these milky, chewy, sweet treats, and Numa Foods was born. Joyce and her mother launched the company in 2018 on Kickstarter. They received almost 600 backers, and they were featured in Projects We Love on Kickstarter. You can check out Numa Foods on their website.
That's NumaFoods.com. Numa Foods is offering Rock the Boat listeners a free bag of milk chews. Just pay for shipping. Use code ROCKTHEBOAT, that's one word, Rock the Boat, to redeem.
Now, back to the show.
Hi, I'm Erin Lim. I am the host for E! The Rundown, and I also am a correspondent for E! News.
Erin's style is fun, energetic, and passionate. She's very gregarious with a natural talent for being in front of the camera. To give you a sense of her style, here's a clip from her show featuring Cardi B.
I talked to Cardi B at her Fashion Nova collection launch party.
Cardi, you look amazing. Tell me about your look tonight.
I hope everybody liked my collection. I know a lot of people was expecting like the Hoochie Mama style.
It's easy to see that Erin loves her work. She has a natural talent for it, and she feels so comfortable speaking with people and entertaining in front of the camera.
I feel really comfortable in front of the camera. I feel comfortable in front of large groups of people. Before even elementary school, I would always want to entertain and make my own little home videos and movies. And I was always creating my own little stories, whether I was like writing books or doing movies on my parents' camcorders with Legos or just doing the morning announcements when I was in middle school.
Erin's mixed background exposed her to different cultures and traditions while she was young.
My dad was born in Manila, so he is very Filipino. And my mom, she's born in Los Angeles, American, true and true, but also from a Mexican background. Mexican, Spanish, European. It was cool coming from a mixed background because I felt like I got the best of both worlds. On Christmas Eve, it was with my mom's family, so we were doing tamales and enchiladas and Mexican-style Christmas Eve, and we'd go to midnight mass. And then on Christmas Day, it was with my Filipino family, and, you know, my dad has 6 siblings, and they all have, like, 3 kids each, so it's a huge Christmas, and it's Filipino food, and I just love it so much. And it wasn't until I moved away when I was older that I realized how much I missed my family and how much I valued all of the traditions that come with that.
When she was little, Erin had high hopes of becoming a movie star or performing on Broadway, but her immigrant parents had other thoughts.
My parents were like, absolutely not. You can't sing. You are not going into theater. I'm sorry. Not going to work out for you. Next. And they're like, you're not going to be an actor. And, you know, when you come from a background of, like, hardworking immigrants, it's like, look, you went to school. You got to have something substantial. My dad was like, well, how about this? You love sports. You love commentating on things. What about broadcast journalism? That could be something that's viable for you. You could study broadcast journalism. You know, he's like, I see this passion for you to be in front of the camera. He's like, you've got that charisma. And so broadcast journalism became a goal for me.
Erin ended up going to Chapman University, which has an incredible broadcast journalism program.
While I was in the news program, I started reporting on video games because I felt like I needed my own beat, my own niche. I grew up an actual nerd. I played my brother's video games. I had every single Nintendo that ever existed, from the original Nintendo to Game Boy Color to Game Boy Advance to Nintendo SP, all of it.
And her inspiration for pursuing video game journalism was none other than Olivia Munn.
I used to love Olivia Munn, also half Asian, represent. She has a similar story. She's half Asian. She hustled. She's into gaming. Like, all the nerds love her. It's like, I'm going to do video game journalism because there aren't a lot of girls doing it. So while I was in college, I was doing my own side hustle, my own little show. And I would go to video game releases at midnight. I would talk to video game developers. I would do anything that surrounded video game and nerd culture and buzz. And from there, I kind of built my portfolio while I was in college. So I was doing, you know, hard news stuff for projects. I was reporting for the local Orange County network, and I was, you know, going to their big local events and being the host for it. So I built a reel pretty much off of video game reporting, and it was for my own show called Elite. Once I started doing my video game journalism, you could tell that my personality was really coming out. And because I spoke so passionately about it, people cared about it. They might not have cared about video games. They might not have cared about who the heck created Call of Duty, but they were like, whoa, you're so interested in it. That kind of helped me turn the corner and say, okay, if I could just stay true to my voice and talk authentically and speak passionately about what it is that I'm reporting about, then I'm going to be okay.
And Erin was okay. After she graduated, she took on a series of internships that eventually took her to Singapore. There, she landed a gig reporting for E! News Asia. That experience taught her how to shine.
I tell people all the time, everyone says they want to do entertainment reporting, but then they'll talk about it and they're lifeless. They're just like, so Kendall Jenner showed up to the fashion show and she walked and it was cool and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, cool. Anyone could have told me that in that same exact tone. But if you're like, Kendall Jenner may not be walking in this week's fashion show, but she was sitting front row and she looked amazing. And the outfit she was wearing, did you see what she was wearing? And the shoes to complement the outfit? My God, I'm living for it.
Her passion and affinity for the camera led her to an opportunity to host her own show, The Rundown. That's where Erin gives a rundown of everything happening in entertainment that week. Erin loves her job, despite the crazy hours.
My weeks do not look the same. Monday through Friday, they're all very crazy days. Maybe a Monday looks like me waking up at 6 for a 6:30 call time. Then I have to prepare for a Daily Pop meeting, and then I get into glam, you know, hair and makeup for an hour, and during that time I'm usually researching, and then I get dressed, and then I'll do Daily Pop. And then maybe right after that, I'll do Live from E. And then maybe I'll have like a little gap in my day to kind of get lunch, reassess. And then in the evening, I'll do E! News. That's a Monday. It's like glamorous and then crazy at the same time. But it's like, it's hard, like even to have a consistent workout routine or to have any type of consistency does not exist in my life. I feel bad for my family and friends and boyfriend who have to keep up and deal with it.
So 1 year into hosting The Rundown, during a really hectic time, something happened to Erin that changed her life forever.
I was doing Fashion Week, and then I came back home, and then I had Emmys right away, and then I had to go back to New York to like host a big panel, and then went back to LA. My friend was visiting me on set. She was watching me film, and she asked me, "Did you go to the dentist?" I said, "No, what are you talking about?" She said, "You're talking from the side of your mouth." And I said, yeah, I always talk at the side of my mouth. My mom, like, she gets so annoyed by it because I slightly talk on the side of my mouth like Drew Barrymore. So I didn't even think twice about it. And then we go on with our day. It's the end of the night and we're watching a live comedy show. And as I'm laughing my face off, only half of my face is moving. And I'm like, why is half of my face feel like it's not moving? And I turned to her and I'm like, am I paralyzed? Is half of my face not moving? And she said, yeah, that's what I've been trying to tell you all day. I was like, oh my gosh, I ran to the bathroom and I just saw that it was like frozen on one side.
Erin's job is to speak and smile in front of a camera. So you can imagine how discovering one side of her face was paralyzed caused a lot of strife. She started reflecting on all the things that could have caused the condition.
I wasn't really managing my stress well. I was just on the go. And I didn't even realize that I was stressed or that my body was suffering because I do love my job. I do love working hard and pushing myself. And maybe sometimes I just push myself too hard. And my body was like, yo, pump the brakes. And this is my body's way of telling me you're working too hard. And it literally just shut down one day. And I was at work, had no idea it had hit.
Erin's mother had suffered something similar in her youth. So when Erin called her at the onset, she recommended Erin see an acupuncturist. The acupuncturist diagnosed her with Bell's palsy.
Bell's palsy is considered a rare disease. It's facial paralysis where half of your face can literally not move and you have slurred speech, your eye does not shut, it's very hard to speak, you can't really smile.
Erin feared that her medical condition would jeopardize her job at E. What if she never recovered?
I called out sick because I didn't want anyone to know. I didn't want my bosses to think that I was incapable of doing my job. I didn't want to tell people and freak them out because I've seen stories of people who never recover. Their smile is permanently damaged. They have permanent nerve damage. Their eye is like not the same. Your eye literally gets abrasions because it does not shut. I had to tape my eye shut every single night. I was drooling constantly because your mouth doesn't really close. You have no control over it. You lose your sense of taste on half of your tongue. It's really hard to eat. I would bite my tongue all the time. It was literally the worst thing I've ever gone through.
During her illness, Erin still did the intros and voiceovers to her show.
I've grown so attached to the show and to the fans, and they have grown so attached to me, and I didn't want to let them down. And if I ever miss an episode, they freak out, and I didn't want them to be worried, but as long as they saw my face for 5 seconds in the intro, they would be like, oh, we get a dose of Aaron. And I would still do the voiceovers. And those were really hard because I couldn't pronounce P words and B words and F words. Like it was all like those just a couple words I couldn't really say.
And the entire time while Aaron was recovering, she was worried she would lose everything she worked so hard for.
I was in the middle of a renegotiation for a new contract at E. So I thought if they knew, they would probably say, well, Aaron is not well, therefore she's not worth the money she's commanding, or she's not worth keeping on the show, or she's not worth us having one solo host to own. Like maybe we should get someone else as a backup. I was just scared that it was literally going to cost me everything.
It took 21 days for Aaron to become well enough to get back onto the show. Aaron could have easily kept quiet about what had happened to her, but instead of hiding her illness, Aaron decided to take a bold move and come out to her fans on Instagram. Here's a clip that she posted right after she recovered.
Hey guys, so a lot of you have been asking where the hell I've been and how I've been doing. Thank you for checking up on me. I am doing a lot better. For the most part, I am well, but I wanted to tell you guys that the reason why I've been MIA is because I've been going through an episode of Bell's palsy. This has forced me to slow down and take a break, and it was tough to go through it. It was a little depressing. But as of today, I decided that this is not going to stop me from doing what I love to do and from living my life. So I'm going to get back in the studio today. I'm going to do my show. And I wanted to let you guys know that if you're going through anything that's difficult right now, that you will get through it. It's not going to overcome you. You have people with you. I am with you. If you have Bells and you've got this cool little side smile now, learn to love it, embrace it. It's cute and you wear it well, I'm sure of it. And just know that I love you guys. Thank you for supporting me and for understanding, and recognize that your physical appearance is not what defines you. I'll see you guys on the show today. Bye. Me coming out actually helped so many people, which then helped me. Tons of people just saying, I also went through Bell's palsy. I know someone who has Bell's palsy. People asking for tips on how I got better and, you know, asking what they could do and just needing support and just thanking me for being brave and courageous to come out and show me with my eye looking crazy and having a slurred speech. I felt like it could have been forever, and I'm so blessed that I healed so quickly.
Since then, Aaron has posted other videos of her battling Bell's palsy to share with her fans.
So it's day 7 of my Bell's palsy. It's been a full week. My eye is still not really able to close at the same speed as my left eye. This is me smiling. Still very paralyzed on this side, having difficulty pronouncing my P's, B's, and F's. To be honest with you, this week has been very mentally and emotionally exhausting. It's hard not feeling like myself and having to hide that I have this and take time off work. Not wanting to take time off work, so this has been a true challenge.
She views it as a way to pay it forward to anyone who's suffering from the same disease.
Anyone who tweets me or DMs me, I feel like we're already best friends. I feel like I know you because people already have an intimate, close relationship with me, even though they don't know me. I owe that to them, to be honest, and to share that. And yeah, sometimes you go through whatever hell you're walking through so that you can be an example and you can be a pillar for someone else. And yeah, I'm just so grateful that I'm 100% recovered. My smile is back. I have not had an episode since. And that's the scary thing about it. There's no real treatment. There's no real medicine. There's no way of telling if it will come back or when it will come back. But I gotta say, acupuncture saved my life.
Erin's not letting Bell's palsy slow her down or define her life. She's still hosting The Rundown, in addition to picking up a couple of other projects, like hosting Miss Teen USA in 2017, hosting E! Live from the red carpet, and hosting Daily Pop. She has, however, learned to be more mindful of taking care of her body.
I just try and de-stress and offload, whether I have to do yoga to start my day or yoga to end my day. Meditation really helps. And my acupuncturist, he's so cute. He is even like, pray to God and like give thanks. And you know, I am a woman of faith and I believe in that. And just like having really deep, meaningful conversations with yourself and with your creator has just helped me completely. I feel like just really taking the time to step back and unplug is so necessary.
And her advice to those who wish to follow in her footsteps?
Just freaking do it. Just do it. You have access to a camera, whether you own one or your friend owns one or your parents own one or the random person down the street owns one and you can rent it. You can make your own show. YouTube exists. Instagram exists. Snapchat exists. Anyone can create. Anyone can create. If you have a brain, you are a creative being. Honestly, we are all creative people. So if you look at different people, like Patrick Starr, for example, I just interviewed him, love him, represents the Filipino community. He's the biggest thing. He's collabed with the biggest stars, endorsement deals up the wazoo. That person has made something from probably what was absolutely nothing but a dream. If you have a dream, if you're passionate about something, turn on the camera, start talking about it, make tons of videos, tell your friends to repost it and talk about it, and essentially it's going to get picked up. And I tell you, if you are speaking passionately about this thing, people will take notice of it, and someone in a higher position is going to see you, and you are one day going to be hosting the Rundown on Snapchat.
Finally, we asked Erin our signature question. What does rocking the boat mean to her?
Rocking the boat is going against the grain, going against the naysayers, going against the bullies, going against the doubters, and relentlessly following in the direction of your dreams, even if that means that people are going to fall off your boat along the way.
Love it. Love it. Bring some life jackets.
Woo!
Thank you. Amazing.
After listening to Erin's interview, I can feel that Erin's a go-getter. She's passionate about her work. She is also a role model to so many minority women in entertainment. Erin's work really defines her, and through her experience with Bell's palsy, it has made her more determined and more dedicated to her work. But it also begs the question of whether we should let our work define us. Erin's experience really brings back a memory of a health scare I had myself. So during my first year working at American Express, I was prepping for a big sales meeting and was feeling really stressed about delivering the numbers and the presentations on time. It was at that time that I started to feel my right hand go numb and my vision became blurred and my tongue felt tingly. I had a hard time remembering names or even speaking. So my manager saw this and she immediately sent me to the emergency room. And her thought was that I was having a stroke. After spending 3 hours at the hospital and going through a series of tests, the doctor announced that I had a severe migraine, and he sent me home with some baby aspirin. Thankfully, it wasn't anything more than a migraine, but it does show how much emphasis I had put on my work and how much I had stretched my own body. And at the start of the episode, we introduced this concept of workism. It's the concept that today, so many of us are turning our work into our passion, our dreams, our religion, our way of achieving self-actualization. We tend to put those who are living their dreams and, quote unquote, pursuing their passions on a pedestal. We give accolades to the, quote unquote, hustlers and the people who work late. I mean, it's even one of the reasons we created Rock the Boat, too. It's to seek advice on how to find purposeful work through the stories of others. But Erin's story makes me question our workaholic culture. It makes me think, what are more ways I can be more mindful of my own health? And what are some of the other things that can help define me outside of my work? And hopefully, Erin's story can help you ask the question as well. What can help you define yourself outside of work?
This season of Rock the Boat is brought to you by our seasonal sponsor, Numa Foods. Numa Foods makes good-for-you chewy milk-based candies. The recipe is inspired by Asian nougat candies, and it boasts 40% less sugar, 4 grams of protein, and a whole host of vitamins. The milk chews come in 3 different flavors, original, chocolate, and strawberry. You can check them out at numafoods.com, N-U-M-A-F-O-O-D-S.com, and use code ROCKTHEBOAT for 20% off. Thanks for tuning in to Rock the Boat. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes and help spread the word about the podcast. We really appreciate your help. Thanks to Kessel Lim, our assistant producer, who also wrote this episode. Kessel Lim is our assistant producer, Debbie Wong and Kim Hernandez are our social media coordinators, and Rachel Chu is our sound editor. Be sure to follow us on social media at RockTheBoatNYC.